Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
You're welcome back to Alive and Kicking. Now, Professor John Nolan has been on the show many times. He's the scientist leading a team at the Nutrition Research Centre in Waterford. I've had him on talking about his groundbreaking research into the power of carotenoids found in colourful foods and their role in eye and brain health as we age. This research and his story, including the development of a carotenoid supplement, travelling from Mexico to France and to Norway to source ingredients, and the family legacy behind the marigold farms, the omega harvesting, and indeed John's patient zero was his mum Helen. So it was only fitting that the very first screening of his documentary telling this story, A Vision for Vision, took place in his hometown of Carrick-on-Shore, which I'm told the locals call Carrick. There I got to meet so many of the community, indeed his mum Helen, and lots of his family, his sister Shirley, at Brewery Lane. And that's where we watched the film for the very first time. So after the screening, I nabbed John to see how he was feeling.
Yeah, I feel grateful. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it because I saw people I haven't seen in a long time, but I enjoyed seeing their reaction. And I feel that, you know, I'm confident in the science and always have been. But when you put the science into a film, you don't know how people are going to react. And just to looking at the reactions across, it's been just so amazing. And that's really important.
So for those who don't know, can you tell us a little bit about A Vision for Vision and the story you're looking to tell?
Yeah, so Vision for Vision is a film documentary that tries to summarise 2 decades of our work. And as scientists, we always talk to other scientists. Like, we publish a paper, it's reviewed by other scientists. And that's who you're kind of speaking to in those environments. So you're trying to make sure you have the state-of-the-art methodology, that you add to the science, and that's what you care for. But when you do a film like this, it's not for scientists. It's for everybody else, actually. So you have to kind of speak differently, communicate differently. But Claire, I've always felt if you're a good scientist, you can communicate to anyone your message. And that's really what we tried to do here. We tried to make it relatable to everybody, really.
Your mum is in it. She's patient zero. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, ma'am. So it's linked to technology, actually, because my own PhD, we were looking at nutrition and health and profiles of people, and we wanted to measure these things called carotenoids, which are the star of the film. And we got this thing called a fundus camera, which basically means you can look into the back of the eye. And this was great, because, like, imagine being able to look into the back of the eye 20 years ago, which is what we did. And we had to just kind of profile the general population, and Mam came down. Of course she did, she was my biggest fan, so she was always going to help me. And then when we looked into the back of the eye, we didn't like what we saw the starting of a disease called macular degeneration. And so that's why she's called patient zero.
So it tells the story of macular degeneration, people losing their eyesight into later years, and also brain degeneration, two of the biggest fears of people, that they will get Alzheimer's, that they'll lose their sight or they'll lose their mind. And you really want to empower people with this science and with this knowledge that there are certain things that we can do to reduce that, to slow it down or to stop it happening.
Yeah, so the macula is the back of the eye. So if you think of the eye like a camera, and then you have this piece at the back, which is the retina, that's like the film of the camera. And we celebrate aging a lot, rightly so. But unfortunately, as we get old, we have risk of a disease called macular degeneration. That's where the center of the macula gets sick, basically. And it's like the tissue that normally receives light that gives us vision doesn't work anymore. And people in that case lose their central vision. And what we discovered a long time ago is that right there, we actually have these nutrients that you get from eating healthy foods or from taking the right supplement. These nutrients go there. And the best way to explain it is these nutrients are lacking in people who get macular degeneration. So by definition, if you increase them, if you provide them, we know patients respond to them. And actually, their disease doesn't progress at the same rate. That's a statement of scientific fact. And what we've shown in our own work as well, that the vision gets better. So that's for the macular degeneration bits. And, you know, if we all live long enough, Claire, we'll all have macular degeneration. So we have to kind of balance the harmony of nutrition and disease and the stress of life, really. And nutrition is the key to that. Lifestyle and nutrition is the key to that. And what we discovered in kind of the follow-on science is that actually what we're learning about the eye, the retina, this film of the camera, if you like, it's telling us what's going on in the brain. Because the eye is the seeing part of the brain. And actually work from the US, from Liz Johnson, shows us that, you know, patients that have a lack of pigment in their eye have lack in their brain. And then we started to work with patients with Alzheimer's disease. And we saw that these patients were really deficient in these nutrients in their brain. And then working with wonderful doctors like Prof Mulcahy in University Hospital Waterford, we were able to work very carefully and sensitively with patients to see, could we profile their pigments? Could we enhance their pigments? And we were able to really enhance their pigments. And in some patients, in patients that had very early stage Alzheimer's disease, we enhanced their mood and their memory as reported by their primary care. So it's co-management and it's nutrition at centre.
You also tell the story of elite athletes, of e-gamers. I let the film speak for itself and I really encourage people to go to see it. But this is why you want to make this film. This is a not-for-profit project of yours and one that you never really saw yourself doing. But you just want to get the news out there.
Yeah, absolutely. We've spoken to scientists for a long time. And now it's time to kind of bring this information to people and doctors and medicine and government. Everyone should see this. That's our goal. We want everyone to see it, judge it for what it is, and then make an informed decision. Thankfully, this is evidence-based, so the informed decision is a safe one.
Well, congratulations on a fantastic night. I was delighted to be any small part of it.
You're a major part of it, as always, Claire. Thank you for everything you do.
I also spoke to the film's director, Wayne Chesler, about his involvement.
I met John Nolan 2017 or 18, I was filming another documentary regarding health, and I interviewed him. You know, I seized an opportunity. He had a lot to say. I wasn't educated yet on really what he was studying, but that quickly changed because I started working a lot more in the health field, specifically towards optometrists and neurologists and doing intellectual property for them, social media for them. And creating content. And then I came across John again. I got really interested in his story and we met again. It was right before COVID and I loved the scope of his story. And we started talking about possibly working together. Once we started doing that, I started realizing as a filmmaker and a storyteller, there's a lot more here that you could put together, a lot of little stories, but give that giant single message. And we started talking about a film, and I really asked him if he wanted to do something like that, and he was interested in it. And I kind of just really became enamored with what he was doing and the scope of it, and I saw the cinematic possibilities for it as a story as opposed to a book. And since I saw that, I pursued it.
And how did you manage the challenge of getting the science across and then still having it as something for the general public?
A lot of conversations with John and distilling it, kind of converting it from what we would say the Petri dish. Stay out of the Petri dish. This is not doctor to doctor. This isn't white papers. It's not abstracts. It's not the world you live in, which is totally necessary and where you live to create and understand and investigate your science, but to deliver it to where it needs to be, to the awareness of the public. Because as we realized, and I realized, which also was motivational, is that nobody knows about this. And that was a big question. So understanding it and really, you know, rewriting it into a relatable narration was something that was really first and foremost.
And it took you all across the world. Talk to us about the experience of going from Mexico to Norway to, of course, spending time here in Ireland.
So I remember the day in late September 2023 that we were sitting there and it was like, all right, guys, go time. Let's go. We're making a film. All right. That's great. Where are we starting? What are we doing? And we started putting stuff on paper. And Carlos Torres said, well, you know what? You need the marigold fields and you can only get them for 3 days. And that's 3 weeks away. So it was really just run and gun from the beginning in terms of getting to the marigold fields in Mexico where they harvest them. And the reason we had to get down there, they harvest them around, you know, Halloween in the United States, you know, Dios de los Muertos for the celebration of the marigolds. It's like a 3 or 4 day window to really go down there. So we kind of jump-started the production right there. And once we started going, we kind of kept going and, you know, learning along the way and being flexible. We realized that the story was bigger than just Marigolds, that it wasn't just John's story. It's an international story. So we wanted to bring in other components and other people that were working on this and not just have it perceived that this is one guy doing it, because that's open to a lot of criticism and it's not accurate. But it was very conscious to kind of go around the world to have an international presence. And that brought us to Norway, where the omega-3s are processed, which is a major component of the supplement. We went to Singapore, where they were working with elite Olympic athletes, following a 9-month study so that we could, in the film, represent efficacy of it from somebody in this instant. We took John as a fish out of water and threw him into an e-game facility, which he's like, what am I doing here? But it was so important that he was realizing that even e-game athletes, which is a huge culture, that their eyes are more important sometimes, not more important than anyone, vision's important to everybody, but how it's their tool, you know, it's like, it's a great tool for them. So it was interesting. So we went from New York, we started in Mexico, we went to London, we went to Cambridge, where John basically started his endeavor. We went to Amsterdam, we went to Norway, as I said, we went to Detroit, I think.
Waterford.
Well, I was getting the saving the best for last. We went to Waterford, where he practices, and here at the moment where we're in Carrick screening the film for the first time, which is so fitting, you know, to film. So it was a great journey, and I think it's just something that's starting. And 5 years from now, I could see doing, you know, an addendum or part two or whatever it is, because I think he's just realizing that he's at the beginning of something, as opposed to, you know, something that's a declarative sentence and here's my period or my punctuation or my exclamation. Nah, there's a huge comma, semicolon and colon in this.
Yeah, I love that. And something I really loved from the film was the theme of legacy throughout it. And so many people that you met throughout the film had their parents in it or work the way they work because of their parents. John's mom is in it, and the film is dedicated to your mother. Tell us a little bit about that.
So my mom passed away from Alzheimer's in 2013, and it was something I was very close to because I cared for her almost till the end when you couldn't. But it was very distressing at the time, you know, calling doctors and this and that. But that was then, and you know, this is now. And when we started with the film, as I said, the first place we stopped was in Mexico at the Marigold Fields, and I met Carlos, and John and I met Jose Torres, who's kind of like the pioneer of this whole carotenoid. I don't want to say industry, but using carotenoids for the benefit of not only animals but for humans. And he told John, you know, that the research never ends, which is, to me, one of my favorite quotes from the film. But getting back to the family is that John became very close with Carlos and his family and Jose, who's the patriarch of all of this. And as it started evolving the film, because a film, you just don't go out there and drive down, you know, a highway and it's a straight road. It zigs and zags, there's flexibility, stories fall apart that you wanted to pursue, stories all of a sudden pop out of the blue, and hopefully you have the wherewithal and flexibility to recognize that this needs to belong in there. And that family dynamic kept on popping up. And then John told me about his mom, and we interviewed him here in Carrick, and I didn't know that till we were here, and he just started talking about his mom, and we're like, all right, let's chase this story now, or turn the chase into a documentation, and turn the chase and the knowledge of this into a pivotal character arc, story arc, which this became. So the story arcs became John and his mom starting out, which was kind of like a, you know, grassroots, and I love that. You know, it's scientists and all this, but everything kind of starts small. Mm-hmm. And then working, you know, being with Helen, John's mom, and it made me kind of think about my mom in terms of, you know, again, the what if that I said earlier. You can't go back in time, but then we end up in Norway, and Leif Gjengibson, he took over his father's fishing business, but his omega-3 business. So it just kept on evolving, that the story, what we set out to do, kept on moving us into this family structure, whether it was son helping mom, son helping mom, father giving to son to keep the business going. It was just a story arc that was so compelling and something to, you know, weave through as a writer. It's like you get these gems and, you know, it tells you how to tell the story. You know, just being out there, which is what I love about the documentary filmmaking process, is you just got to get out there and have access. And that's what this film ended up doing.
Yeah, and knowledge is power. So you have some meetings coming up. Streaming is imminent. For tonight, it's just about John being back in the hometown where he's from and showing it to his nearest and dearest.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, it just fittings. And sometimes I think you always go back. You got to go back to your roots and your origins. Yeah. I think that's the romantic part of any journey. I don't care what you do in life.
So, never forget where you came from. Well, it's a fantastic film, and it's been a beautiful night, and thank you so much.
A Vision for Vision is a brilliant documentary, which I've no doubt will be making its way to a streaming giant soon, so pun intended, watch this space. And thank you to everyone that I met in Carrick-on-Shore for being so welcoming, and of course, to Professor John Nolan.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna. Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.